the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from have paid my ransom? But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Hallelujah! His wounds have paid my ransom. That's awesome. Today I got a bit of a different message, part political, part Christian. You will like the political stuff. Anybody watching what's happening as we get closer and closer to November 3rd? How many of you know that after the election, the coronavirus will lose its importance? It's being politicized now like you wouldn't believe. I read an interesting article on Trudeau. We're going to be slaves pretty soon if he has his way. He's going to take away our houses. He's going to pay for all our mortgages, of course. Pay for our houses. But then the houses belong to him. And we do as he says. Very interesting. It's an agenda that many despots have had throughout the ages. And they had that agenda for the last 50 years to bring in a globalist government, a one world government. And I've been studying this for the last there 20 years at least. And I saw this coming. I didn't exactly know which way it was going to turn. The globalist agenda is incredibly strong. Very powerful people in all the world are behind it. Billions and billions and billions of dollars to bring in that one world government. But last I read was that Jesus took the scroll out of the one sitting on the throne, and he unrolled the seal and unrolled the scroll. He opened the first seal. That's the beginning of the one world government. Not what the people of this earth will do. They will be taken down, dwarfed at every attempt they made, regardless how close they come. I listen to different prophets, and here's something very interesting. There are prophets who say, oh, the one world government is going to be pushed back according to the prayers of the people. And then you hear the prophets that say the one world government is going to be pushed back regardless, because God has his man who's going to be in office for 4 more years, for he has a work to do. I'm kind of thinking, for those who say if people, God's people, pray enough, I'm reminded of people when you ask, will you go to heaven? Well, if I keep on doing the right things. So it depends on what you're doing, not what God's agenda is. What is God's agenda? God's agenda is to bring people into the kingdom. And God's agenda is to foil all of Satan's plans and ideas. And if you study the left, the Democrats, they're not a political party anymore. They're a religious party, totally sold out to Satan. They want to get rid of all godliness. They want to close down the churches. They want to abort babies like there's no tomorrow. They want to do all those things, take away your rights. And they are not shy about it any longer. Up till now, they kind of just give you hints. Now they're right out into the open and explaining things. But will that happen? The Bible has a different agenda than they have. So this is what I'm going by. I'm not a prophet, but I can study the Word and I can kind of see how it's going to play out. So you have to study the Word of God. The Bible teaches in the last days there shall be seducing spirits and teachings of demons. And that has been going on for years and years. People thinking they're hearing about from God and totally mistakenly operating in the wrong way. I not too long ago listened to somebody argue with a preacher about homosexuality. And this one guy said, the Bible teaches this. Paul claims writes it by the Holy Spirit that homosexuality is an abomination. And the preacher said, but we have more revelation than the Apostle Paul had. Reminds me of doctrines of devils. Spirits bringing revelation, and in this message today, I'll explain exactly how those spirits operate. So I want to explain what God's agenda is and what the world's agenda is and how it works, because God puts up governments and he brings down governments. The fear that many Christians are in, they shouldn't be. That's uncalled for, because God is in control. And his agenda is that we are going to be here until we're taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his coming. Until all hell breaks loose on this earth, we will be here. We're holding back. The one holding back is holding back. But let's see what Scripture has to say about the end times. But before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, you will open our hearts to the Spirit of truth and open our hearts to your voice so that we can understand. I thank you, God, that you have left us a book, and you will help us to understand that book. It is our guideline so that we can walk the straight and narrow. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. This message was actually inspired by a revelation that my son Tom got from the Holy Spirit. Very interesting. You can be a preacher's son. You don't necessarily have to be a preacher to get a word from God. And I'll get later on in the message what he heard from God and how it's going to play out and how we're seeing it play out. It's very interesting. If you're a child of God, God can give you revelations. God can give you messages if you're interested. If you want to know what's going on. Many churches don't teach on the end times, so the people have no idea what to expect. They have no idea which direction we're going, so they walk around, put on masks, and hope for the best. Isn't that interesting? Walking about, putting on masks, and hoping for the best. I'm telling you, those masks don't help them a thing. I know that for a fact, because that virus can get through any cloth. It's far smaller than a piece of cloth can stop. So God is warning us, I'm in control, don't worry, I have things in order. But when will it climax? How will it climax? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 1, it tells us, "But of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I want to ask this question. The agenda that the world system has, the political systems, do they have an agenda for peace and safety, or do they have an agenda for destruction? They want to put us all into some camp where we're going to do what they say, and that's it. So that doesn't look like we're going to be shouting peace and safety if we are going to get the political agenda. God has a different plan. He's going to change the political course of this world, and that is it. Their agenda is to bring in a new world order, and that was first brought over the news in President Bush 1. I remember him clearly saying it. We're getting ready for a new world order. That's about 25, 30 years ago. Very interesting. I knew about it then already, and I knew that was their agenda, and I was waiting for it to be brought into fruition. And over the last 20 years, it has become more and more evident that's their idea. And they got people in place and things in place that these things will come to pass. But God is going to stop it. But God is something there in the Bible pretty often. He brings a stop. So people will be shouting peace and safety. Does that sound like today where all the world is under lockdown? Oh, we're in peace and safety and we're enjoying things. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. "For of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage." That's basically partying. Do you see big wedding parties these days? How many? They're down to 10 people, funerals. You can't even attend anymore because in many cases they're basically shutting it down to a few people. It says they'll be drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Sie freuen sich und ließen sich freuen. That's a very interesting scripture in the German. They're having a good time. They're partying. Everybody is out there enjoying his life. And that's what Mr. Donald Trump is talking about. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have life as usual. And that's what's coming, I believe. At least 4 to 8 to 16 years of relative peace and prosperity. The Bible preaches us, the Bible teaches us at the last trump. I hope it doesn't talk about Baron Trump. I hope it talks about maybe this Trump. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. Here we have Mr. Donald Trump. The name is not there for the heck of it. God has a sense of humor and he knows exactly what he's doing. So there's a trump on the horizon that's going to be the last trump. And then it'll come. Jesus will take us unto himself. It says they did not know, they did not expect it until the day that Noah came into the ark. And this is going to be until the Lord calls his church unto himself. Okay, we're finished. We're going to allow now the world system to take over. For the one holding back will hold back until he is taken out of the way. So this is what we can expect. I believe, I'm not prophesying this, but I see this is what's written in the Bible. So this is what I'm expecting to happen. I'm expecting the blueprint of God to be fulfilled and not the world's agenda. In a couple of weeks, we'll find out for sure. Until then, we just praise the Lord and expect these things. So the question is, how does God manipulate these things? The Bible teaches us he puts up one government and brings down another. There's an interesting scripture found in 1 Kings chapter 22 in verse 19. There's an interesting scripture there which I believe a lot of you here over the internet have never seen. And maybe a lot of you here have never really studied. It's about King Ahab. His time had run out. The prophet had prophesied that he was going to die. And the time had come where King Ahab was going to die. And the question is, how do we get him into battle so that he will be killed? And here is what happened. That is interesting. And for those who can believe that, I was once partaker of such in a gathering in the spirit realm. God allowed me to see how it worked. And I'm telling you, it was quite interesting. In 1 Kings chapter 22, and he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord." That's the prophet speaking. "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall?'" That means to get killed at Ramon Gilead. That was a battle. There were prophets there, and Ahab wanted to hear from the prophet. What does God say? What does God tell us? And the prophets are standing there ready to give the verdict of God. And one said to his, "On this manner," and another said, "On that manner." And there came forth a spirit. Now listen, this is real. This is not some hypothetical thing that could have happened. This is real. This is what happened. And this is what is recorded. "And there came forth the spirit and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Wherewith?' And he said, 'I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and so do. Now that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. God giving a lying spirit the permission to go talk to a preacher. God giving a lying spirit the permission to go talk to a politician. Well, they're there all the time, according to what we've seen over the years. God giving a lying spirit to an average Christian who is not serious about God. God sending a lying spirit. You need to straighten that guy out, get him into trouble a little bit. This is how it works. But then there's also a spirit of truth. And this is where my son Tom came up and said, God showed me something. He's going to send a spirit of truth. He did send a spirit of truth into all the Democrats. And it took me a second or two to figure out what he meant. And yes, I started to understand. You know how Trudeau used to lie? Now he's starting to tell the truth. There's a spirit of truth forcing him to tell us what his agenda is. Here's what Trudeau's agenda is. Trudeau agreed his carbon tax increase will make 80% of the households better financially because of his rebate system. Who's interested in rebate systems? Carbon tax. We pay in carbon tax. But don't worry. I'm going to send you your check every month. You do not have to worry about it. He is forced to tell the truth. That's his agenda. That's what he wants to do. But anybody who has a brain knows that cannot work very long. It's going to crash the economy. It's going to crash the country. And that's exactly what they want to do. And they're forced to tell the truth. I just give you one example. Listen to the idiot and you'll see how truthfully he speaks. Unbelievable that a person can do that. Now let's go down south and see the spirit of truth working in the Democrats there. They got a Green New Deal. Has anybody ever figured out what that Green New Deal is? They want to tear down all the houses, make smaller houses, more efficient houses with smaller windows, and it's going to save a lot of electricity. They're going to stop producing oil. They're going to stop fracking. They're forced to tell the truth. And you know what that'll do? They'll close down the coal mines. And people who make their living by producing coal, they're standing there. Are you guys crazy? That's where our livelihood comes from. Who in his right mind would vote for a politician like that? They're going to close down the coal mines. And by the way, in a few years, we'll have no gas-operated vehicles. Everything will be done on batteries. And the people are standing in amazement. Are these guys crazy? Why do they tell us this stuff? Who in his right mind would vote for them? Yes, there are people who will vote for them. But those who have a little bit of a brain up here understand that this is not going to work. So it's God forcing them to tell what they really think. Yes, they would love to lie, but they can't. I watch Mr. Biden on TV. He would love to lie to us, but he can't. He's forced to tell the truth. Listen to this. I'm not going to take away taxes. I'm going to raise taxes. Man a living, he's going to break the country. God is forcing him to tell the truth. And now the big one, the other day they asked him about court packing. Anybody who knows what that is, study it. It's about putting on as many Supreme Court justices in there, as many as they need to win. They need to win decisions. So they put in as many as they possibly can. And then they asked Joe Biden about it. He says, the voters don't deserve to know my position on this. I'm not going to tell them. Can you imagine? The voters don't deserve to know my position on this. I listened to that guy and I thought, Is that guy out of his mind? Why would you talk to people who are supposed to vote for you like that? You don't deserve to know what I'm going to do after I elect, after you elect me. Now that would turn anybody off, or will it? The question is, how many are truly interested in going forward? Because the young people of America have been brainwashed to the point where they think socialism and communism is the way to go. They have figured everything for free, until they run out of toilet paper. Then their eyes open up and say, whoa, where is everything? Why can't we buy this? Why can't we buy that? They found that out in Venezuela. And that's how people are today. God sends them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned because they have no love for the truth. This is what's going to boil down to in the end. God is going to allow them, through spirits, lying spirits, believing lies, that they all might be damned. There is a so-called Christian organization, about 30 or 40 or 50 pastors' churches getting together, pro-lifers who are going to vote for who? Mr. Biden. Very interesting. Pro-lifers, where the Democrat Party wants to kill as many children as they possibly can. Never mind aborting them, waiting till they come out of the womb and then breaking those babies' necks or putting a sharp object into their hearts. This they don't even try to hide. They have it out in the open. They're telling it openly. This is what we're going to do. Trump, on the other hand, what does he want to do? He wants to save lives. He wants to bring up the economy. He wants things to go forward. He wants churches to open up. He surrounds himself with people who are Christians, who are calling out to God, who are praying that God will save this country. Yes, people who call themselves Christians, we cannot accept the morality of Trump. He is too loose with his mouth. Guess what? I'm loose with my mouth too if you don't behave yourself when nobody's around. So this is how people are, and they want to point their finger. So God is showing us right here out in the open what the truth is, what the false is. Are we going to take truth? Or are we going to take false? It's our choice. I studied the Bible. I know the plan of God. I know who chooses life, and I know who chooses death. The Lord God said, choose life. Where do we stand on this? What is our position? God is not mocked. If people are going to pursue immorality, if people are going to pursue unrighteousness, God will send a spirit and convince them that they're doing the right thing. And guess what? In the end, it's going to be the eternal lake of fire. This is how God operates. He looks at your heart. Okay, if that's what you want, that's what you get. You reap what you sow. So as we get closer to the end, we'll see these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils becoming more and more obvious and out in the open. And guess what? The only guideline we really have is the Word of God. But that's all we need. Then it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verse 4, it's talking to Christians. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness. You understand these things. You know how things are going to go down, that they should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, the children of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So the Bible teaches us here, if you're really born again, You're going to see and understand these things. You're not a child of darkness. You're a child of day. In other words, the spirit that is within you will show you these things. You will understand these things. You will not run about confused as if your head is chopped off. So God is showing us, you're not in darkness. You're born again. You got my spirit in you. Listen to what the Spirit says unto the churches. Listen to what the Word of God teaches, and you will see the end as ordered by God. Very interesting. They're trying to stop us from gathering together. They're trying to stop us from encouraging one another. When these shutdowns came, especially in some states in the States, it's awful how they close down the churches. They give these preachers fines of hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're still doing it, trying to stop the church from praying. But the church doesn't stop praying just because it's in some walled building. It prays on its feet. It prays when it sleeps. It prays when it's awake. It prays when it's eating. When God touches a person, there's prayers going up. And no demon in hell can stop God's agenda if God's people are on the march. Hallelujah. They can try, but they'll fail. They will fail. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath. This stuff that we're seeing here all over the world taking shape, God hasn't appointed us to that, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Hallelujah. This is why we're supposed to get together, to edify one another, to comfort one another. If you do not go to a church that preaches these things, that knows these things, you're going to leave from there with two masks on your face, never mind one, because you're going to be confused and you will not know where you stand. Unbelievable stuff is happening. Years ago, I read something interesting in a book by Rebecca Brown. He came to set the captives free. That was about 30 years ago. And here is what that lady said that came out of the demonic realm, that came out of Satanism. She said, Satan's agenda is this for the last days, to put as many Satanists into the pulpits, in the churches as he possibly can. And let me tell you, they did a good job. If you go on YouTube, do you see harmony? Do you see people getting along? They're at each other's throats like rat cats and dogs. Why? It is because Satan brought his people in there and they're destroying the faith of them that truly try. So God is not mocked. Whatever people sow, they shall also reap. In whatever situation you're in, you can decipher the situation by studying the Word of God. If you're being misled by a preacher, it's your own fault. You haven't studied this book. If you're being led astray into some area, and the Bible is clear, it's your own fault. You didn't pay attention. God even may allow you to go quite a distance before he says, okay, it's time to come back. And it's hard to come back because you become programmed. You become programmed to think in a certain way. So open your heart to the voice of God. Satan is out there. He's out there to steal, kill, and to destroy. Those lying demons are out there whispering into ears of people, whispering into the ears of the politicians, whispering into the ears of the pastors and teachers. They're very, very active. But we have an antidote, a good antidote. And we don't need anything else. It's called the living Word of God. So make sure you get into the Word of God, because you're going to be challenged as we get closer to the end. God wants you to be ready when these days come. And most of all, he wants you to be ready for his call. Do you know that you know that you belong to Christ? Maybe if or but is not good enough. There's going to be many that will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do many of those wonderful works in thy name? And the Lord will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What makes you right with God? If you have decided that Jesus, the blood of Jesus, is the only antidote for your sin and nothing else, then you qualify. To them that believe in him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. The ball is in our park here. We got the choice to live for this God and be realistic, real with him. So open your heart to this. Become a blessing to yourself and those around you. Let God use you mightily as we get closer and closer to the end. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.
Yeah, last week on CNN, two times the anchor was arguing with the person they were interviewing about the truthfulness of the things they were saying. I thought I was watching some truth network, because from CNN hearing that was unheard of. And I'm not talking once. They squabbled for 2 to 3 minutes. And then somebody asked Joe Biden, what do you say to a person who thinks they're better off under Trump? What would you say? He says, well, if that's how he feels, he probably shouldn't vote for me. And I'm like, okay. So these are the things that are starting to happen.
Just like a bird who flew away in autumn to a land of warmer days until the chill of winter has passed. I can see a ray of sunshine that tells me it's about time for the holy God turn at last.
He may come with the flowers in the springtime, or when the hand of winter makes the hills a snowy place. It could be any season, just can't help believing any moment we should sail away. Just like a baby eagle caged in prison, just growing, waiting for the day I hear these chains will break that bind me, and my wings will start a flying past the highest star to meet him in the clouds. He may come with the flowers in the springtime, or when the hand of winter season, but I just can't help believing any moment we could sail away. It could be any season, but I just can't help believing any moment.